Footsteps, Chapter 119. Mrs. Eddy's mission was really to bring the Christ down from an isolated sense and make it available for all mankind. Above all others, she understood and demonstrated Paul's statement, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." She knew that our spiritual treasure is contained in every manifestation of mortal thought, and she appointed us the task of proving this and making the effort to see spiritual causation back of all material things so that they will cease to be material. Where is God to be found? Shall we seek him in the sunset, in the clouds, in nature? Yes, but only as we are able to see these as symbols of him. If one uses the very food that he eats as a symbol of the infinite love of God and of the fact that he cares for man even as he doth the lilies, then that food will enable man to search out God. If one takes the tree as the manifestation of God, reckoning it a symbol of God's all-encompassing love, then in the tree one finds God, thereby proving that we have our treasure in earthen vessels. Properly understood, all the things that seem to separate man from God will serve to bring their unity to light. Mrs. Eddy realized that cleaning a room or replacing furniture was a function demanding demonstration, demanding the power, wisdom, and presence of God. In fact, her direction of the demonstration of her students in the home exemplified hymn 140 from the New Christian Science Hymnal, number 5 in the Old. If on our daily course our mind be set to hallow all we find, new treasures still of countless price God will provide for sacrifice. The trivial round, the common task, will furnish much we ought to ask, room to deny ourselves, a road to bring us daily nearer God. Truly, Mrs. Eddy's understanding of demonstration epitomized the phrase, "Beneath our feet, life's pearl is cast." As she said in her home, "I am learning more and more every day to take God with me into every little thing I do." This corresponds with page 65 of Science and Health. To gain Christian Science and its harmony, life should be more metaphysically regarded. It also fulfills Paul's enjoiner in Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." All through the scriptures are records of those who traced God in the common phases of human experience. When Elijah properly handled the wind, fire, and earthquake by denying the error which suggested that the Lord was not in them, he found God. Where the disciples found only fear in the storm on the Sea of Galilee, the Master found God. He parted the draperies of God, which were the storm, and there was God in the midst of them. The three Hebrew captives found God in the fiery furnace, as did Daniel in the lion's den. Surely these found their treasure in earthen vessels. By the same token, one suffers from a storm of indigestion. Yet, through demonstration, can he not throw aside the error and discover a consciousness of God in humble food, thus having his thought turned to the great giver? The Master exemplified this ideal in the Last Supper, and the only reason why scholastic theology is not conscious of God in the Eucharist, which should be solemnized in remembrance of me, is because the ceremony has come to have a significance of itself, instead of remaining merely a symbol, something to be relinquished the moment one is able to reach out and touch the garment without its aid.